Chapter 1, and I'll watch the time to make sure that we get out here in good order for your lunch. Philippians chapter 1, and also would you pick up one other verse of Scripture with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Hope to see you tonight at 6 o'clock, especially if you're a Christian. We'll give you something to really chew on tonight. Philippians chapter 1 and 2 Corinthians 4. Let me take just a few moments, lay a foundation for the message and the thoughts behind it, and then I'll give you some illustrations to bear out these thoughts. Philippians chapter 1 and 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Brethren, now, we need to understand who God is. Would you agree with that statement? We, His children, need to understand who God is. Once we get saved, then begins a process of beginning to understand better and better who God is, so we can understand how He works and deals with His children. I'm glad to be a child of God today, aren't you? But we need to get to know our Father, if you would, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, the Godhead, and understand how they, as one, as God, deal with us, how they think. And they do not think like the world thinks. God does not think like the world thinks. And therefore, we have to fight through the world's attitudes to understand how God views things and how He sometimes allows things in our life. And the right attitude towards what He's doing allows us to gain and grow. Look at Philippians chapter 1. And notice, if you would, a verse of Scripture in Philippians chapter 1. Notice verse 20. Verse 20. He says this: according to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. And then he says this: for to me, to live is Christ. And I want you to see the next little five-word statement: and to die is what? Gain. I'm going to talk to you this morning just a little bit about some unusual gain. He says, and to die is gain. And then he goes on to say this: but if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I choose, I shall choose, I wot not. What means I know? I know not, I wot not. For I'm a strait betwixt two, having desire to depart. Depart where? Depart from this life. And to be with Christ, which is what? Far better. He says this: I have a desire, I want to leave this life, I want to depart, I'm living for Christ, but to die is gain. To depart is going to be better. I'm ready to leave this life and go on to be with Christ. And if we as His children talk about leaving this world and going on to heaven, the world says, what are you talking about? What are you talking about leaving this world? This is the best it gets. No, to the Christian, this is the worst it gets. Everything after this is better. Would you agree with that? Somebody says, you haven't seen it yet. That's the whole point. We believe by faith what this book says. We believe what God has put in our heart. The world doesn't believe it yet. It's not in their heart yet. By faith, we believe in the unseen, that heaven is much better than this world. And that's why he says to die is gain. To live for Christ, yes, but to die is gain, and to be with Christ is far better. Statement: to die is gain. To lose this life is actually gain. I'm not saying go out and do it today. But when it's our turn and when it's time to graduate on into the next life, to be with Christ is gain. To sacrifice, if you would, to die is gain. Look, if you would, at verse chapter 3. Stay with me. Chapter 3. So sometimes the way we gain is to suffer loss. Dying is a sacrifice, if you would, that produces, if you would, someone would say, a loss. To gain sometimes means losing something. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Watch what he says, verse 7. But what things were, say it, gain to me, those I counted what? Loss for Christ. Statement: sometimes the way we gain is by losing. Let me say it again. The way we gain something is by losing something. I'm going to say it again. As a Christian, every once in a while, God will be producing gain in our life. We will be acquiring something better. That's what gain is. We will be acquiring something better, but it won't seem like that at the time. Let me say it again. Every once in a while, God will bring something into our lives, and we will actually think we're losing something, but in God's eyes, we're getting set up to gain something. Let me say it again. Gain is acquiring something to make us better. Gain is acquiring something that he gives us. He's going to increase and he's going to give the gain, but we don't understand he's doing that in our lives because it feels like we're losing something. To die is gain. To lose this life is gain. And then he says this, what I counted loss for Christ, those I counted loss for Christ, he said it was actually gain to me. I was actually gaining something, getting something, bettering something. It was a better acquisition, but it was, I had to count it as loss for Christ. Somebody would look at our lives and say, ever since you've been a Christian, it looks like you've been losing things. Doesn't look like it's been getting better. Looks like it's been getting worse. It's actually not getting worse. It's actually getting better. But to the world, it says, look what you're giving up. Look what you did here. Look what over there. Look at over there. It looks like you're losing so much. You say, no, no, we're gaining so much. Amen. See, the world looks at us and says, hey, you give up this. You've given up that. You're not doing that anymore. You're giving up this. You're giving up that. I thought Christianity was supposed to be getting something better. Hey, by giving things up, we are gaining. We are getting something so much better. Now watch what he says. Stay with me. Stay with me. Look at verse 4. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, meaning what he was raised in and what he did and what he accomplished. If any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. The flesh, what he did in this life. Circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel. He said, here's my heritage. Here's my lineage. I was of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews. He said, I wasn't just a Hebrew. I was a Hebrew model of the Hebrews. As touching the law, a Pharisee. Hey, he was committed in zeal, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Touching the righteousness was in the law. And by the way, the law was not made for us to be righteous. But touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. He said, you know what? All those credentials I had in this world, in religious world, when I met Jesus Christ and trusted him, I lost all those things and gained so much. All the pedigrees and everything are good. All the degrees, all the honors, all those things are wonderful. But brethren, sometimes something better comes along, and then he says this in verse 8, yea, doubtless. And I count all things but what? Say it. But loss. You're losing something right now? You feel like something's slipping away? You feel like something's sacrificing in your life and you're giving up something? Maybe you're not giving something up. Maybe you're gaining. Come on, stay with me now. Brother, I'm just going through something right now. We as a family are going through something. We as a family, we as an individual, we're just going through such suffering and tribulation and trial. And it seems like everything's going wrong right now. Maybe you're gaining. Maybe you're getting something. You say it doesn't feel like it. That's what faith's all about. That's who God is. Hey, who hath known the mind of the Lord, and who hath been his counselor? We are owned by him. We are bought by him. He paid for us. We submit to him and watch what he does in our lives. And when things seem to be falling apart, he's putting things together in a better way than they've ever been put together before. He's got something planned for us. Stay along for the journey and watch what God does. Watch what he says in verse 8. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the, say it, loss of all things, and do count them but dung. You say, why do you say it that way? Because it's Paul. And he said sometimes he's crude in his speech. And you know what he says? Hey, that stuff where I was born of the tribe of Israel and Hebrew of the Hebrews and a Pharisee and persecuting the church, you know what that all is to me, he said? It's unimportant dung. Now, he said it. He said it's insignificant dung. All that status and all that, if you would, protocol and all those things that I was and how I was born and what I was taught and how I acted and what I was doing and all that. He said, when I met Jesus Christ and started understanding who Christ is, I decided that I would lose all that to know Jesus Christ, and all that I lost compared to Jesus Christ is unimportant, insignificant, dumb. That's what he said. Now, some of y'all are going through some loss right now, and it hurts, and it's suffering. But maybe you're actually gaining. Say, it doesn't seem like I'm gaining anything. Seems like I'm losing so much. If God's in it, you're actually gaining so much. We're still all right? You see, a lot of it is in our attitudes. All right, let's take, for example, Job. Stay with me now. Job, did he lose much? Talk to me. Did he lose much? Did he have any control over what he lost? Was God involved in the whole thing? Yes or no? Was God involved in the whole thing? Did he actually gain? God doubled him. Did he lose something? Did it hurt? Did he move on? And did God give him gain? How about Ruth? Did she lose something? She lost her husband. He died. Could she do anything about that? No. Talk to me. No. Was she actually gaining? Yes. When she was approached by Naomi and said, go back to your country, Ruth said, no, I'm going with you. Did she lose something? Yes. She lost her country. She lost her kindred. But was she gaining something? Yes. By the way, how did Ruth come out? Did she do all right? She lost her husband, not by choice, by circumstance, and she chose to leave her country. And in the end run, she married Boaz and was in the lineage of Christ. I'd say she gained a lot through loss. Sometimes we gain through loss. If you feel like, man, something's... sometimes somebody says, man, I just lost my job. Maybe you're actually gaining. I just lost out on this. Maybe you're actually gaining. This just happened. I had nothing to do with it. I don't know what... It just happened. I just lost all this. Maybe you're actually gaining. If God's in it, sometimes gains come through loss. We're all right still? See, we have to have the right attitude of faith because God can do anything He wants at any time He wants. Hey, if we would have looked at Nehemiah from just our standpoint, not reading the book of Nehemiah, we would have just been part of the kingdom, and Nehemiah was the king cupbearer, and Nehemiah walked up to us and said, hey, listen, I'll be leaving this area here. I'll be leaving the kingdom. I'll be leaving my position as the king's cupbearer and my closeness, if you would, to the king. Where are you going, Nehemiah? To deal with some rubbish? I'm going to Jerusalem. I heard it's a bunch of rubbish over there. I heard the walls are all broken down. It's a mess over there. Nehemiah said, yep, that's where I'm going. Why are you giving up your position here, Nehemiah? Why are you giving up your status as the king's cupbearer? Hey, you got an easy life here. You got a comfortable life here. All you have to do is taste things for the king, and you're right in there next to him. It's a wonderful life. What are you going to Jerusalem for? There's a mess over there. The people are all in disarray. The walls are all falling down. Everything's a mess. Why are you going over there? That doesn't make any sense to me. He was gaining. He wasn't losing, he was gaining. But it didn't look like it. When he left, it didn't look like things were going to go that well for a while. Everybody over there, a lot of people over there were against him. But he was actually gaining. Because all it takes is God and you, and that's a majority. See, we can look at others' lives and say, oh, look what he's done. Everything's falling apart. Look what she's done. Oh, she's losing so much and all that. Maybe they're actually gaining. Maybe we ought to wait to see how it all comes out. Maybe we can't read the last chapter yet. Maybe we can't read the end of the story yet. Maybe we can't see the last chapter of our journey yet, but maybe we can do this. Maybe we can, with our attitude, say, hey, I'm trying, Lord, to be in your will, and a part of your will is suffering loss, and by that I gain, that I'm willing to have a right attitude and not charge you foolishly and not give up and not quit and watch what you're doing in my life, and I'm trusting you by faith, God, to give gain. All right? Sometimes things happen. Sometimes we have the control of them, and sometimes we don't. Giving, if you would, up something and losing something that used to be very important. Sometimes God says, I want you to give that. I want you to let me have it, or I'm going to take it from you. And what it does, look up here, it diminishes the value of it. And while he diminishes the value of something that's temporal, He increases the value of something that's eternal. Look at 2 Corinthians 4 real quick. Stay right with me. We all right? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Are you thinking this morning with me? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Stay right with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Talk to me now a little bit. 2 Corinthians 4. Now watch what it says in verse 16. Verse 16. For which cause we faint not. For though our outward man perish. You say, what does that mean? As you get older, your body begins to deteriorate. Have you noticed that? If you're 20, you haven't noticed that probably yet. Maybe you have a little bit because you're still getting stronger. Your hair is still growing, guys. Now, once you hit 40, reality will begin to set in. And you will notice that the flesh isn't quite what it used to be. Amen? And you say, brother, wait till you hit 50. I'm close. Now watch what it says. Verse 16. For which cause we faint not, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Hey, as we lose the outward man, we gain the inward man. And the inward man is not something you can see. You can't see my inward man. You may be able to see his countenance. You may be able to see me more peaceful, but you can't see really what's going on inside of me. I can't see what's going on inside of you. But as the outward man perishes, the inward man is renewed. It gets stronger, and there's gain day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, that's our life, is that right? Just a moment. Worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are what? Say it. Seen. Boy, it looks like you're suffering and you're losing a lot. But at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are what? Temporal. But the things which are not seen are what? Say it. Eternal. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle, meaning this body, were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Brother, as this body gets older and we start to put it off and we lose it a little bit more, we're actually gaining because there's a house not made with heaven waiting for us, and we've grown earnestly desiring to be closed upon with our house which is from heaven. We believe with all of our heart we're going to heaven. It's a better place. And as we lose down here, we begin to gain, and our mind gets set on that stuff, and we start saying, you know what? This world is not our home. We're just a passing through. But while we're down here, we want to do something for God in an eternal way. What will it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? People would say, man, you've given up so much. What have we given up? What are we losing right now? And by the way, we all have some sleepless nights, don't we? Let me ask you again, don't we all have some sleepless nights? Don't we all face some worries and some stuff and turmoil as we begin to lose something or feel like something is lost or feel like we're giving up something? Some of it is our choice and some of it is not our choice. Some of it just befalls us. Some of it is our choice. But brother, every once in a while God will come by and say, you want to get some gain? Oh Lord, I want to gain. All right? You're going to have to suffer the loss of something to get gain. What is it, Lord? He may not tell you. He may watch your attitude. Now, all kinds of things are running through our minds right now. Let me give you illustrations from the Bible. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. Everybody still all right? Come on. Hebrews chapter 11. By understanding God, we understand what He does with us in our lives. He would never allow something to come upon us just because He didn't have anything else to do that day. It always is for a reason. Watch now, Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11, look at verse 24. Verse 24. By faith, Hebrews 11, verse 24. By faith, what does that mean? He's believing in the unseen. He's believing in that which he can't see yet. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, meaning he was old enough to make his own decisions, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Well, let's stop there for a moment. He was, in fact, in the palace, the son of Pharaoh's daughter, well taken care of, great prestige, had everything in this life that you would feel that would be comfortable, but when he was come to years, when he came of an age of reason, when he could make his own decision, he decided, I will not be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter anymore. Verse 25, the first word is what? Everybody say it. Choosing. Say it again, everybody. What? Choosing. It was a choice. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God, which, by the way, he was one of those people. Is that right? He was born a Hebrew young boy put in a little ark when he was supposed to be killed. Pharaoh's daughter found him, and he became like unto his son, her son. But he knew who he was. And so he chose to suffer. He chose loss. He chose to give up something. He chose to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming. Hey, he had something of value that he looked and said, you know what? To be suffering as one of the people of God is more important and more valuable than to enjoy the pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. All the trinkets, all the treasures, all the luxury, all the pleasure. Does that mean you can't have nice things? No. You can have nice things. Look up here. If you're driving a nice car, it's okay, okay? If you live in a nice home, it's okay, okay? If you have money in the bank, it's okay, okay? If you become a millionaire, call me up, take me to lunch. Okay? And I'll talk to you about some missions projects I know about. Amen. And then you can have some true riches. We'll make an investment. So you can have some true riches on the other side. But don't think we have to live in such a way that, well, I just have to give everything up. Relax a little bit. Maybe God lets you give it up and then he gives you gain. Maybe God just wants to make sure it's not a tax to you. It's not an idol. It's not something that takes precedence over him. Come on, is that right? Moses said, you know what? I've got all this luxury. I've got all these treasures of Egypt. I'm the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I got it made. But God burned the bush later on. And when Moses saw that bush burning, he was glad that he'd already made a choice a long time ago to suffer affliction with the people of God. He made a choice. And he chose to go with God's people. Did he lose something? Yes. It says the pleasures. He lost some worldly pleasure. But the eternal glory is much more important. We all right with that? I'm not saying you can't live nice and comfortable down here. Don't take that. But every once in a while, God might come along and say, all right, now I got some gain in your life. You've been asking me to increase you. I'm going to increase you. I'm going to give you gain. And everything drops out the bottom. So that doesn't look like gain. In God's way, it is. He'll diminish something and devaluate it before he puts the value on the right thing in our lives. Okay, either you're thinking or you're hungry. Which one is it? You say both. Okay, both. You're thinking that you're hungry, amen? Probably half of us in here right now are going through loss to get gain. Probably half of us in here are losing something right now to get gain. Somebody says, now, what can you lose? If you lose your health, it may be to get you closer to God. Let me say it again. You may not have any choice over it. Your health may be lost in some way. It might be a thorn in the flesh. Why? That it will get you closer to God. So you actually do gain. We can pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and pray. And God may say, no. That's a loss that's going to give you gain. That's my will's law. It's okay. I'll take care of you. I'll help you. I know how far you can go. I know how far I can take it. I know how far I can diminish it. I know what you can handle. I can see inside of you. I made you. I know who you are. You're mine. I'm going to let you lose just a little bit so you can gain so much more. We're all right with that statement? Hey, business people, you may lose in a big business deal so you can gain. So that doesn't make any sense. Who said it has to make any sense? Sense to who? As long as God looks at it and says, no, that's fine. I understand exactly what's going on. You may lose for a while in business. It may not work. Why? So you figure out you can't do it. But when he decides to do it, he can put it all together and make it really go. But it has to do with what's in our heart. Are we okay with this statement? Sometimes we lose for a while before we gain. We suffer loss prior to the gain. Moses chose to suffer the affliction with the people of God rather than enjoying the pleasures of sin. And he decided, if you would, in verse 26, that he would esteem the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Look at Genesis 37. Genesis 37. Stay with me now, just a couple more scriptures. Genesis 37. Sometimes the way to get gain is through suffering loss. Sometimes it's our choice, and sometimes God chooses it for us. A couple more illustrations. Genesis 37. Would you pick up also after Genesis 37? Would you pick up 1 Chronicles chapter 5, please? Thanks for turning there. Genesis 37 and 1 Chronicles chapter number 5. Now watch how this goes. Genesis 37, 1 Chronicles chapter 5. Thanks for turning there. In Genesis 37, watch what happens. It's the story of Joseph. We won't go into detail. Let me just give you a highlight. Genesis 37, verse 27. Verse 27. Come. These are the brothers of Joseph. Come. Verse 27, Genesis 37, 27. And let us, the brothers, sell him, Joseph, to the Ishmaelites. And let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brethren were content. The brothers decide to sell Joseph off, slave-like manner, to the Ishmaelites. Then there passed by Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they, meaning the Ishmaelites, brought Joseph into Egypt. It looked like Joseph had suffered the loss of everything. But actually, Joseph was gaining. Let me say it again. It looks like Joseph is suffering the loss of everything. The Bible says he had anguish of soul, that he begged his brother not to do this. It's over in Genesis 42, don't turn there. But he begged his brother not to do this, and they saw his anguish of soul, and they turned from him. And then that one day, Joseph lost his brothers, Joseph lost his dad, Joseph lost his mother, Joseph lost his country, Joseph lost everything, but he was actually gaining. What happened to Joseph? He goes over. He's sold. Potiphar buys him. He's in Potiphar's house. Potiphar's wife starts flirting with him. Joseph doesn't want to have anything to do with it. Finally, Potiphar's wife sets him up, lies about him, said he has done all this after Joseph retained his integrity, and Joseph's put in prison. He's still gaining. Doesn't look like it, but he's gaining. Hey, he acts right in there. The baker, the butler, you know the whole story if you've ever read it before. They forget about him for another couple of years. Finally, he's brought up. He says the dream. He tells the Pharaoh what's going on. And he's been gaining all that time that it looks like he's been losing. Because God had his hand on his life. Now, where did it all come out? To me, the greatest thing that I see in Joseph's life was not so much that he became second in command of all of Egypt. And yes, it was important that he took care of his dad and took care of all his brothers. But look at 1 Chronicles 5. 1 Chronicles chapter 5. Was he gaining? Oh yeah, he was gaining. God had a plan. Look at 1 Chronicles chapter 5. Maybe one of the most important thing that happened in Joseph's life was in 1 Chronicles. Chapter 5. And look, if you would, at verse number 1. Verse number 1. Now the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel. Remember, he had 12 sons. For he was the firstborn. But forasmuch as he defiled his father's bed, his what? Everybody say it. His what? Birthright.
his birthright, Reuben's birthright, was given unto the sons of Joseph. Remember Ephraim and Manasseh? The son of Israel. And the genealogy is not to be reckoned after the birthright, for Judah prevailed above his brothers. Reuben was supposed to have the birthright as the oldest son. Judah, if you would, was the one who prevailed above his brother. But the Bible says that of him came the chief ruler, but, verse 2, the birthright was who? Joseph. And who did Joseph? His son. Don't you remember? Joseph called his daddy up just before he died and said, after all those years of not seeing the grandboys, the grandchildren, he presented his two sons. And do you remember? He presented them the firstborn and the birthright. And do you remember how dad, the granddad, crossed over the blessing? One of the greatest things Joseph saw in the end was his sons inherit the birthright. Did he get gain? It was worth everything he went through to see his boys blessed. As parents, you know what I'm talking about. We would suffer the loss of a lot for our children to be blessed. And after all Joseph went through, I mean, being carried off, can't you see this young lad riding away and the tears and the nightmares, if you would, if he had them, and the anguish of soul as he rode away, and his brother, jealous of his coat of many colors, if you would, stripped it from him, took it back to dad, made it look like he had got killed for all those years. Dad thought he was dead, never went after him. Joseph couldn't come home, and it was impossible to do. Hey, the distance, and he was sold, and he was in prison, and then he was in Egypt in Pharaoh's land, and when he sent for dad after all those years of not seeing him, and his little baby brother, up they come, and couldn't you see Joseph on that day where he said, hey dad, here's your grandchildren, and here you can put the blessing on them. And the Bible says God gave Joseph the birthright. He was gaining. Who got the birthright? His two sons. It looked like he was losing, but he was actually winning. You know what it looks like to everybody that Christianity is losing? We're actually winning. I wonder what it looked like on the day to the disciples when Jesus was hanging on the cross. It looked like they were losing. They were actually winning. Hey, come down if you're the Son of God. Come down. They wagged their heads. And you know what they thought? Who is this guy? They didn't know who he was. It looked like he was suffering a great loss, but he was actually gaining. See, the principle of God is when we're losing something, if we're in God's will, doing what he says to do, it's sometimes by choice, and it's sometimes we don't have a choice. But that loss sometimes is actually great gain. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Got more scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Everybody okay? I wonder if you're getting this. Come on, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Oh, honey, it's all falling apart. Maybe you're getting gain. Man, everything looks like a mess. Maybe God's about ready to give you gain. I mean, over and over and over we could see in the Bible. Now, stay with me. Watch the principle. Two more scriptures and we'll be done. And I'll let you go eat so we can get gain. Amen? 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Watch it now. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Watch what he says, a little scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Look at verse 9. Verse 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Watch. That though he was, say it, rich. By the way, was Jesus Christ rich before he was born in the stable? Let me ask you again. Was Jesus Christ rich before he was laid in that little hay feeder, that manger? Where was he before? Heaven. Who was he? Part of the Godhead. Is that right? So he decided, by choice, to become poor. Suffer something. Lost. He left his throne of glory, born of the virgin, laid in that little manger, in that poor little barn, if you would. And the Bible says, though he was rich, yet for your sakes, that would include me, he became what? Poor. He suffered loss. But he was actually gaining.
Would you agree with that?
That ye, through his poverty, might be what? Rich. If we're suffering loss, it's usually for someone else, but as long as we do it in some way, some form, for someone else, we are actually gaining. I suffer the loss of something. I give it up, God takes it from me, God asks me for it, and I lose it. But in actuality, that loss is so somebody else can be blessed. And in that loss, so somebody else can be blessed, there's actually gain for me in it too. Jesus Christ became poor. He left his throne of glory, came to this earth, and suffered loss. While he was down here, he was mocked, he was lied about, he was beaten, he was spit upon, and then his last thing that he did down here was he submitted himself for crucifixion. Not just death, crucifixion. The worst kind of death. Crucifixion was a torture death, a suffering death, an agonizing death that they purposed to have the life slowly drain out of his body. They put him up there like a common thief, like a criminal, like a shameful creature, like he had done something wrong, and he didn't just die, they crucified him. It would be like going to the death chamber for something you did wrong. But it wasn't a quick death, it was a slow, purposeful Roman death. And they nailed him, and they put him up there knowing that his life would slowly drain out of him and there would be great pain, and they set him beside two thieves, like he had done something wrong, malefactors. But he decided to do that. That was a choice. He let them crucify him. He laid his life down freely. He lost his life to get gain. He's the first fruits, and he's bringing many with him. I hope he's bringing you with him, amen? So there he is being crucified, and they wagged their heads and said, if you're the Son of God, come down. They said, look at him, he suffered so much, he's got nothing, look what he's lost. And they don't know it, but he's just about ready to be resurrected. They don't know it, but they're about ready to see him, if you would, later on. They'll see the resurrected, glorified Savior, and the same one that they looked upon in his eyes said, hey, if you'll be the Son of God, come down. If they didn't get right with God, one day they'll look in the flaming fire of eyes, and he'll say, remember me? I'm the one that you looked up at. I was suffering loss so you could live, but you didn't. And now you look into my eyes and see the flame of fire, because that's where you're heading. He's not willing that any should perish, but if you're not saved in here today, hey, you have to suffer loss. You have to humble yourself. You have to realize that, you know, repentance is being broken and losing something in our heart and being humbled down. And when you get humbled down, you actually get gained because you get saved. And once you get saved, you got everything. You're part of Christ's inheritance on your way to heaven. Seats of gold, mansions in heaven with God forever. No more tears, no more pain, no more sorrow. Heaven. Heaven, heaven, heaven. We go through this life, we say it so hard, but in heaven there's so much more waiting for us. Not time to molly grub down. It's time to realize this suffering has a purpose. It has a reason. We lose something to gain something. We lose something to get something. If God's in it, let God be God. Let him do his own work, his own way. Jesus Christ laid himself down on that cross, but he looked to the joy that was set before him. He knew he'd suffer that cross, but then he also knew he'd be sitting down at the right hand of the throne of God, the right hand of the Father. And one day he knew they'd crown him with many crowns. He knew that he'd trade that crown of thorns for the many crowns he'd once wear in the future. Brethren, right now we're going through it. It's not time to criticize each other and put each other down. It's not time to judge each other and say, oh, look, you deserve that. Look, you did this and this and this. Look, Joseph, hey, look at you in prison, and look at you, if you would, in Potiphar's house, and look at you over there. Look at him at the end. Look at him watching his two boys being blessed. Poor Ruth lost her husband. There comes Ruth and Naomi back. Don't have anything. Call me not pleasant, call me bitter. They didn't see her at the end holding that little child, that little grandbaby in the lineage of Christ, given birth by Ruth, who lost some things but gained in the end. Are you listening to me? Look at one more scripture. Look at Mark chapter 10. What we're losing right now, what we're giving up right now, may be worth it. In fact, it will be worth it. Mark chapter 10. And we're finished. Mark chapter 10. Everybody still all right? You say, how many more minutes do I have to give? 5 more minutes of giving. And then you'll get great gain. Amen? Mark chapter 10. Watch what he says. Watch the principle. Mark 10, verse 28. Let's just read it. Then Peter began to say unto him, Mark 10, 28, lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, you know what he did? He is going to explain to Peter that statement. Lo, we have left all and followed thee. Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or land. Wait a minute, watch. For my sake and the gospel's. He said, if you did it for that purpose, if for my sake, it's for the sake of the gospel, you've left something down here. But he shall receive 100-fold when? Say it again, when? Wait a minute, how much more? 100-fold when? Whatever he gave up in verse 29, he said, hey, if you did it for my sake and the gospel's, we don't just do it to do it, but if in God's course, in God's timing, by God's will, we have to give up something, whether it be land or, if you would, whether it would be something to that we would love so much. He said, hey, don't worry about it. I'll even bless you with 100-fold more of that now. In this time, houses. Look at verse 29. There is no man that hath left what? There is no man that hath left what? House, singular. And what does he say he'll give back in verse 30? Houses, plural. And brethren, and sisters, and mothers, and children, and lands. Here's reality. Everybody say it? With persecution. That's reality. But then he says this, and in the world to come. Next slide. Next stop after this world is heaven, if you say. Next stop in this life, after this life, if you're not saved, is hell. That's reality. Next stop in this world, if you're saved, after this world, is heaven. Next stop, if you're not saved, after this life, is hell. I've never been there. I've never been to heaven. I've never been to hell. Neither have you. But this Bible says it. And everything else about this Bible has been true. We believe that also. So the thing to do today would be to suffer a little loss and get saved. What do you have to lose? Your pride. You have to lose yourself just a little bit and humble yourself. Be willing to come to a place of repentance in your heart and ask Christ to forgive you of sin, which is breaking of the law. Trusting Jesus Christ in the blood of Him as redemption, payment, atonement for salvation. So we suffer a little loss now, but the payment is eternal life later. And then for us Christians, if you're suffering a little bit like right now, wait a minute, don't give up yet. Don't quit the journey yet. Don't give up on God yet. Don't give up on what He's doing yet. Look at the illustrations, and we've only read 4 or 5 of them. Looks like to me everybody who suffers a little bit gets gain in the end. So why don't we change our attitude on this loss for suffering? And say, maybe I'm actually getting gain. Maybe there's actually something good going to come out of this. Maybe God's actually working, and those decisions I made, or those circumstances that happened to me that I had no control over, maybe there's actually something going on here, and even with the world, or even when the brethren tell you, hey, look what you're doing, and look what you're giving up, and are you a fool, and all that stuff. Hey, you know what? Maybe they don't know God well enough to know what's going on in your life. Maybe you ought to just not confer with flesh and blood. Maybe you ought to just look to God and say, you know what, God, me and you. Somehow I believe you're working this all out. And I can't convince anybody else. I'll just trust you. I'm even having a hard time convincing myself that everything's going right. But I'm going to put my trust in you. And by putting my trust in you, Lord, I'm going to wait to see how this all comes out. Maybe that loss is actually gain, and we just can't see it yet. I will praise him. I will praise him. But I'm going through so much. But praise him anyway. Job lost everything, but he retained his integrity and charged not God foolishly. And in the end, more humble, more broken, but more blessed, Job could see that God was working through that whole thing. Whatever you're going through right now, maybe God's actually working. It's not over with yet. We're not finished yet. We're not done yet. The journey's not finished. Let's see what he'll do now in this life, in the now, and see what God will do for us. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Sometimes the brethren can't explain it. Sometimes the world cannot understand it. All we have to know in our hearts that God is doing something. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you've been going through a lot, and you're not yet a Christian, you don't know Christ as your Savior, maybe all that you've been going through is for him to bring you to this place, this day, so that you can receive Christ as Savior and become his child. And all that you've been suffering, it'll all be worth it then, as he brings you into his fold to become one of his sheep. Hear his voice and heed his words and trust Christ as Savior. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I wonder if you'd say in here today, Pastor, before we leave, before we dismiss, would you pray for me? I'm not sure if I'm on my way to heaven or not. There have been some things going on in my life that I don't understand. Some may be my own choosing, my own doing, but some is totally out of my control. And just perhaps God's bringing me to himself. Please, Pastor, pray for me. And I'd count an homage and a privilege if you'd allow me to do that. With your heads bowed and eyes closed. Lift up your hand right now and say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure about my salvation. Pray for me. Yes, good for you. Good for you. Good for you. Good. Our Father, you see a few hands in here today of some people genuine and honest seeking thee. And Lord, thou is the only one that knows this morning what's been going on in their lives. And thou is the only one that really truly understands it, but we're believing that you're bringing them to thee. Father, please draw them to yourself. May they look to the Son of God and live. Right now, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you raised your hand for salvation, you could ask Christ and say, please forgive me. I've broken your law. I've broken your rules. I've sinned, and I'm asking you to forgive me. And I'm asking you to accept me as one of your children. And I'm willing to receive the free gift of forgiveness. Forgiveness is not something you can pay for, but it's something that you can receive. It's because of what we just talked about, Jesus Christ. Christian, if you're going through some seeming loss right now and some genuine loss, and some genuine heartache and some genuine turmoil, whether it be in your family, in the community, in the business world, with your health, in your culture somewhere, in church, in ministry, whatever it is, and only God and you may know, maybe that loss is actually for gain. Maybe you're actually gaining, but it doesn't look like it. It didn't look like for Moses that he was gaining. It didn't look like for Joseph that he was gaining. It didn't look like for a while for Paul that he was gaining. It didn't look like for Ruth that she was gaining. It didn't look like for Job that he was gaining.
And it certainly did not look like to the world like Jesus Christ was gaining when he was on that cross. But in all those scenarios and more, they were actually gaining through loss. Maybe you know somebody right now, and they're on your heart, and you say, oh, I know somebody right now going through it, seemingly going through so much loss, and they can't understand it. Maybe this morning, God would impress upon your mind to pray for them. Maybe it's a couple or a family. Maybe it's an individual you know or casually know. Maybe it's somebody across the aisle or across the state or across this country. But it would be good for you, my brother, my sister, to intercede for them. If you raised your hand for salvation, if you raised your hand for salvation, why don't you, in just a moment, as the instruments play, why don't you get up and come down, let us take a Bible and work with you about your salvation, and then give you some scripture for growth and some ways to grow, no strings attached. If your need this morning is to have a little time at the altar with our Lord, or maybe you know somebody and you want to pray for them. And they're on your heart this morning. Maybe it's somebody yet unsaved. Give you the opportunity all over the altar, all over the altar, all over the altar to come. The instruments play. You come right now, just slip up and say, I want to come to an altar and pray this morning, Christian. For yourself, unsaved friend, why don't you just slip out and come? Maybe for someone else you know, not for you, but for someone else. Just say, excuse me. I don't care if you're...